It's time for the Carol Cox Show right here at K108. If you have questions or comments for Carol, our number here is 524-1080, 524-1080. And now, here's Carol.
Everybody say, be everybody else, can't you see? Oh, you gotta be the. Ain't nobody just like you, you gotta be you. Baby, hit or miss.
Okay, hey, good morning and welcome to the Carol Cox Show. A lovely day here in Hawaii. Nay, we got quite a bit on the plate here today. Talk about the boat, plane, the train, and many other things. But what we want to do is, you know, the lead-in announcing the show, Carol Cox Show. It's 524-1080. We'll cancel that number. And again, it's 888-5204, 888-5204. And the other number is 524-9510 if you find yourself in a pinch. But we welcome all calls. And like I say, we'll be talking about the boat and, you know, the Pacific Paradise, which is sitting out, stuck on the reef there. And if anyone out there knows State Representative Kaniella Ng or have access to him, let him know that we're going to be talking about this subject. And I know that he had quite a bit to talk about in this on this subject, alluding or suggesting that it was human trafficking and also suggesting that it may be slave labor. And while, let me say this before we go any further, I have been involved in the longline fishing industry and looking at it and dealing with it and bringing to light many of things, even the issue about the use of the foreign workers or foreign fishermen. It's no secret. 2000, if you go to Carol Cox, just Carol Cox Facebook, I posted a link there to it. But if you go to EnviroWatch.org, you can see a link there called Aliens Aboard. And that was and reflects and document what the current status was at that time in 2000, the use of foreign workers aboard the fishing boats. And the idea was behind that, and all of this was brought to our legislators at that time, Akaka, Hanabusa, and anybody that was involved in Congress or what have you, and in our state legislators, did absolutely nothing. And so what I'm going to try to do today is lay out a couple things for you and ask you, is it irresponsible on the part of, sorry about that noise, it is irresponsible for Kaniella Ng to make such statements. I mean, he has a right to make any statements he wishes. But I might add, he's also running for Congress now. He's, if I'm not mistaken, he announced his run for Congress. So the idea is you want to move from a nondescript person who was elected into the state house, and so you want to elevate yourself by wetting yourself up and all of that. And sometimes there's a danger to that when you are misinformed, ill-informed, or just fail to go out and inform yourself on the, and reach out and talk to everyone. I know that when we say it's slave labor, and when we say it's foreign fishermen and foreign human trafficking, those are two words now that scare the hell out of everybody, and it should. If we have such a thing at our shores, it should. But in my observation, my opinion, this is not an illegal act of human trafficking. This is not slave labor. And we'll lay that out. And I don't want you to pick up the phone and call me and say I'm defending the fisheries, because I really am not. And the point is that just as obvious as that boat is wedged in the coral out there off Waikiki. It has been there now for some 12 days or so. Yesterday they made an effort to move it again, and the attempt failed, and they moved it a few feet. And the insurance now, basically, the report is unconfirmed that the insurance money that was available for that has run out. So when you're spending $100,000 for a rope, and mind you, I understand it was a used rope to pull it out or extract or extricate the boat from the coral, and they use a tug, and then yesterday they used a bigger tug, and no success. So Friday when I was there looking at this, and these are just my assessments now, and I'm not a salvager and or anything, but I have common sense. So I suspect that it would not be moved, cannot be moved with the way it's being done, because it's just the circumstances prohibit that. So I suspect that that boat, you will be, it will become part of the landscape for the next 3 to 4 months. It will still remain there. Because if this does not work, now someone suggested, well, let's use a chain. Well, no, we're not going to use a chain, because when you have the scope and the chain dragging the bottom, now you're creating greater damage or causing greater damage to the coral and the substrate. And a lot of that is sandy bottom out there. But nonetheless, you don't want a chain chafing the coral that exists, and you don't want that. So my hat's off to the Cates International for even just not using a chain, but using a rope. And I've seen people use chains, and but again, this didn't happen. They had a rope, and I have some pictures that I took, and you can see where the rope is frayed at the near end of the tug. So this situation fleshes out quite a bit, and it's so unfortunate. So unfortunate that we haven't removed the boat off the reef, and we're hear this chatter about human trafficking. And like I said, I guess if you're trying to break into the scene and the show is already underway, but you want to steal the thunder, or you want some of that attention, because there's thousands of people in the theater, so what better way to put your name, attach your name to anything related to that, and then that thousands of people will see your name and then will associate you with a do-gooder and do good and waiting and taking care of the people. This situation has gone from very bad to very, very, very bad. And that is, it speaks of the inability of, and it says that this is what happens when you have a governor, and not just dig on Governor Ige, this could be any governor. When you pick your chief of the agencies and you appoint, you pick Suzanne Case or anyone, if they have their own agenda, then ultimately, it will show that they are serving their own agenda and not yours, and not the people's agenda. Now, what does that have to do with Case? Well, when this thing first happened, you see, there should have been a more aggressive, immediate addressment of it, taking a tug, doing something. Have an army of biologists out there surveying, and they did a bit of that, but apparently it didn't work and it wasn't adequate. Caller, go ahead. Thank you for calling.
Hey, buddy.
Yes.
Where's Moo?
Pardon me?
Where's Moo?
Where's
okay, Ma, get to my point. I'm texting. Did you see my email? Why don't they have a fleet of crane helicopters on the way and an Antonov 225 or a cano plane?
Mm-hmm.
I'll leave it at that and let you go on.
Okay.
Bye.
All right, thank you. Now, so what basically is going to happen, I suspect, with this, speaking of the caller's comments, is that being that all has failed and there's only so much money, now the panic is, what does Coast Guard do? Who do we get the Navy? Where do we get the money from to go if the insurance is not adequately available to cover this, then do we tolerate it just sitting there rocking away and becoming part of the scene and our beautiful Waikiki, quote Waikiki, beautiful, but it depends on how you're looking at it. So this boat, probably what will likely happen is that they will end up bringing a pair of scissors, or kind of a claw, or that will be on a flat barge or something with a long arm that pinches it up into pieces, and then having it airlifted by helicopter. Quite possible. But again, that's going to take some planning. I'm not part of it. These are just my guess. But once they initiate that, it's going to have to be done, because if waves come in, it's going to disperse that and spread it out all over. But again, you see, isn't that amazing? We haven't even gotten the problem addressed. The problem, Connie Elling, Bruce Anderson. The problem started off as a boat run aground in Waikiki. Neither of you had anything to offer as expertise, or offer anything saying that you're looking for more money to get that thing out of there. And then later, subsequent to this conversation of removing it and adequately funding it and all, getting it done, getting that out of the way, and then shift the conversations to foreign illegal aliens being imported, human trafficking, slave labor. You see, that's indicative of someone wanting to attach themselves to a cause that might bring them votes. And we see it all the time. But the real problem is still there. The boat is still there. But as a politician, whatever floats your boat, so to speak, is you're going to attach yourself. And it's a very, amongst people that really care and observant, it could be the worst thing you can do. It's an insult, because the issue is, right now, we want that boat moved. We want it out of there. We don't want the damages. We just want nothing. So Suzanne Case, we know how much coverage it was available in the insurance right from the onset. We know the policy. That is all stated up front, or it should have been. And contingencies. Alternate solutions should have been thought out and immediately put in place. One trigger, well, that failed. Okay, well, we're getting near. How much have you spent so far on this project? Well, we're getting to the amount that exceeding the amount the insurance will cover. Okay, what do we do now? Do we file a legal action? Do we whatever is necessary, or do we go and ask the Navy to get a declaration of some sort to remove it, or get a declaration from Congress, whatever. I don't know all the appropriate procedures, but there should have been a contingency plan based on if this didn't work, then do this. Now, there is one gentleman says, well, you know, what created a problem was that when they had the fire, they came by and dumped water. The fire helicopter dumped water into the boat to put the fire out, and that added water to the bulk or the hull of the ship. I don't know. I wasn't there. Don't have that. But these, when you're caught in the middle of something, trying to address something immediately and you want it to remove, you're not going to have everything available. You're not going to do everything perfect. So the boat, in my opinion, based on what I've seen in the past years of my growing up and being around maritime issues and boats running aground and all, always a concern with minimizing the impact of removing the vessel or whatever it is, or mitigating the oils and what have you. So what's going to take place, more than likely, they're going to put a barge out there, a small floating barge or some apparatus that will cut it up. Now, they may come back and do it something different. Who knows? And lift it off. So that, just say hello to the boat. Every once in a while you go by, you just wave at it. I think we'll become intimate with it. And we haven't heard from Suzanne Case. Isn't that kind of cute? The chief of the DLNR, you would think this is a major incident, and it's quite obvious, and it's quite offensive. And so you would think that just to ease the minds and take all the guesswork out, and what's wrong with sharing the protocol of what is going to take place? You see, we don't know. But why wasn't it? But an interesting parallel is that they take upon themselves to have these policies and these special projects that they bring with them once they get appointed, and they bring into the agency and as chairpersons, and they have a special interest in this nonprofit organizations and that all partner up, and they look at the state workers that are hired by, you know, the state, and they're civil servants, and they're part of the bigger fabric. And so you end up getting things like, well, they tell us there's a monk seal recently killed, bludgeoned or whatever, killed on Molokai, and there's not a word. And when I expose that and bring it to light, I get them to admit there is. They say the reason we're not doing anything is it's an investigation. Okay, we'll buy that. But then what would be the reason for not coming forward and advising the public in a clear sense, a manner, and telling them specifically what is going on, update? That's, I think this has risen to the level of a chairperson speaking to the public, taking the guesswork out. And if nothing else, get out there and answer some of the questions, because I tried to photograph it the other day, and everybody come by, they want to know what's happened. So that suggests that the people that want to know are not being informed. So it's you're the environmental guy, Carol Cox. What's going on out there? Hell, I don't know. This is just a bigger secret to you as it is to me. So that says a lot. But there is so much to be said about that boat and the handling of it. I noticed I was down there trying to get some photographs of it with my drone. And then I learned that, we have a security area. We've had FAA to block the access to that by drones and whatever, that frequency. Okay, well, that's okay. We can understand that. But the problem is, tell us something. What's going on? Caller, go ahead.
Yeah, Mr. Cox, getting back to that fishing boat. Hearing the story initially, this fishing boat was came from Samoa, was 20 fishermen on there.
Mm-hmm.
And my question is, what was it doing cruising around Waikiki? If it was transporting fishermen, why didn't it enter the port immediately instead of cruise around Waikiki while the captain was asleep?
Mm-hmm.
So I suspect that it is a trafficking problem, that maybe they're waiting for dusk or someone to drop, let these guys bring them ashore. So that's my feeling, that I don't think those fishing boats carry 20 people as a crew on a normal fishing. It was transporting fishermen from the Pacific.
Mm-hmm.
I think it said Samoa to Hawaii.
Mm-hmm.
So what it was doing, cruise around, maybe they're giving a tour of Waikiki to these 20 fishermen.
Yeah. Well,
I'm seeing sightseeing trip.
Yeah.
So I don't know all the details except what I've heard on the radio and seen on television.
And that speaks to my very point of, we should have an intelligent presentation from the chairperson with the full story, not a story that is in pieces or as distributed as part of a puzzle, so that you hear a portion, the media hear a portion, and what have you. the day that it happened, you're right, a boat left here. That boat is the Pacific Paradise. It left here going to Samoa. And it took, picked up 19 fishermen, right, that were hired on the contract to come back. This is a practice that has been occurring for years. And with the knowledge of the United States Customs, with the knowledge of the United States Coast Guard, with the knowledge of Department of Land and Natural Resources. And so when Connell Ng says that we don't know, and Bruce Anderson says we don't know, this vessel was returning, and apparently it was supposed to tell, it was going to come in at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, scheduled to the following day that it ran aground. But it came in early. And so that was the problem. So my big question is, where was the Coast Guard in seeing this vessel come in and not go out, because this is a security zone and it's a major shipping lane? Why didn't we have a response? Where was DLNR? This is a fishing boat, a longline fishing boat. They have vessel management systems on those vessels. So that what that means is that a vessel constantly give a signal off, and it lets the Coast Guard and National Marine Fisheries Service Enforcement and whoever else is privileged to that can look at the monitor and see that vessel at all times emitting its signal, telling those people where it is.
In addition to the other news, I heard that a church took in those fishermen, and yet another story said they disappeared and they don't know where they are.
Yeah. Well,
so are these fishermen here to fish, or are they here to come here illegally? If why would they disappear if they're here for employment? Why didn't they go show up at the harbor, saying, or were they collected by who has contracted them to be here?
So let me ask you this, give you another point. The Coast Guard, I understand, picked up the captain and one fisherman in a helicopter, or someone in a helicopter. So why didn't they detain those people, that person, number one? They could have detained many of them. So the idea is, you've heard a lot, and I'm trying to explain to you, and thanks for asking these questions, from what I've been asking around the pier and what have you. Trying to get make some sense of not the slave operation, not the foreign human trafficking, because that's not what it is. Each individual.
Okay, since you're looking, into this,
let me finish. And then, so
to your knowledge, where are these fishermen now?
Well,
are
hold
they
on.
In custody?
Hold on. So these fishermen, when they come in, when that boat left here. It left here with the intention of picking up 19 people. Those people were already distributed on each boat, because each captain, each owner of each boat that these people were going to be working on have already worked with an agent in the foreign country, and then also an agent here who knows exactly who's coming. There's a contract between the fisherman and the captain of the boat, or the owner of the boat, we should say, not the captain. And that's already clear. They know when they pick them up at Samoa, they're bringing them back. They're going to distribute them to a variety of boats. The owner of that boat that they're destined to is already paid the Pacific Paradise to transport those people back. They must have their passport. The captain must have in possession each and every passport. That is a requirement that customs require, or ICE require. So they don't want to come to the pier and say, where is Fisherman X? Well, I don't know. He went down to the bar. It don't work that way. The captain is held accountable, and he must have in his possession those passports. So when the question is, they don't know where they are, that's a lie. They do know where they are. And they don't just run and jump off. And I don't know when to say the church took them in, because that would be, if that's the case, is it playing into, well, he's smuggling them too? Is part of hiding it? No. It was a simple process. There's a couple of boats, the Pacific Dragon, for example. That is a company, same company that owns the boat that's aground right now, right? The Pacific Dragon, owned by TWOL LLC, is responsible for the boat going to Samoa, and that person was compensated financially by the other captains or the other owners of the other boats that these people would be brought back and then distributed amongst those boats that paid to bring them back.
Yeah, well, I have to get off the phone, but my question is, then to your knowledge, then INS has custody of these or know where these fishermen are at this point?
They know
Although
where they are.
A preacher came on television saying he was putting them up at his church.
Well, if he is, then I guarantee you it's not without the knowledge of the government. And I don't know the facts of that. I can only tell you I saw seven of them on the day that I was down there taking pictures and spoke with them. So it's what it is that our government has failed, and we'll talk about it extensively. This problem repeats itself. And would you, as a fisherman, want to participate in this business that of gamble? Because one day something goes wrong, then all of a sudden your industry is labeled as slave owners and smugglers and trafficking of human beings, when in fact your state legislators, the auction block, when you bring your fish in, they know that the Casper the Friendly Ghost is not aboard that vessel, so they must know something, right? So what we're looking at is
just
a big...
Just a last statement and digressing. It's like Alu Farms have brought in all these illegal farmers. It seems like nobody here on this island who are unemployed want to work as on the farms or work as fishermen, so they have to import these people.
Yeah, I don't know the cause of them importing people. What I'm saying is that it's knowledge amongst our regulators, it's knowledge amongst our legislators, and they have done nothing. They should have addressed this a long time ago. If the industry relies on this manpower, then make it legitimate. Take the veil off of making it look like it's criminal, because when you eat that fish and you buy fish at Costco's or wherever, let me tell you something. We are just guilty as well. If we are supporting an industry that is slave-driven and an industry that is smuggling and trafficking human beings, then damn it, every one of us don't have the luxury of sitting around and second-guessing, because we're all guilty if that's it. So when are we going to own any part of it, right?
Well, that was the same situation with Alu Farms. They lived in horrible conditions,
I don't know if
they paid big money to get here, and they weren't getting their pay.
I don't know. I do know personally that some of the boats that I'm aware of actually go and buy truckloads of food, and they ask their workers, "What do you want?" I'm privy to that information specifically, and this is not just chatter. They give them a list, and their list of food that they buy, they make requests. Certain boats, their crew make, that imported crew make requests. Steak, they can eat all the fish they want to. Now, there in my early investigation, they found that people would only give them a piece of fish and rice or a Simon noodle. That was it. Right? Because every nickel counted when they were trying to make the money. And
well, I love to eat fish and rice. So I wish somebody would give me some.
I wish.
Anyway, I'll let you go, and thanks for
keeping
track.
Thank you. Now, if any of you have factual information that disproves this, or dispels what I'm saying, please feel free, but give me the specifics. And if you think I'm speaking as a friend of the industry, no. I'm just saying that sometimes being a victim of being labeled something and when you're not, because people just, the emotional and what have you, and we should be concerned about if there's slave and trafficking, we should be concerned about that. Really. But let's not be so fancy in our thoughts that we dare not ask Tulsi Gabbard, what the hell are you doing as our legislator? Why not ask Brian Schatz, what are you doing as our legislator to let this thing fester all these years? And why would you put American businesses, and this is a driving force in our economy, this industry, this fishing industry, supports, contributes substantially to our economy. It's a product of Hawaii. Hawaii, you go to some restaurant on the mainland and it's Hawaiian ahi, Hawaiian mahi-mahi, caught in Hawaiian waters. And then our legislators, how irresponsible to continue to subject the fishermen, the longline fishing industry, to subject them to this once a month, once a season, something flare up, oh, they're slave owners and they're bringing in, smuggling in people, when we have federal agencies party to all of this and these people are operating on the cuff, but at least they're operating with the knowledge of the government. Caller, thank you for calling. Go ahead.
I have a fact for you, sir.
Go for it.
Money is being served at the expense of responsible behavior. The Coast Guard should have ordered the Antonov 225 cargo aircraft full of heavy lift helicopters or something. I'm very sorry that this is a fact, but money is always being served and people are, properties are always being costed. Thank
you. Right. Thank you. And there are some concerns there, but you know, the Coast Guard is it still DOT? I think it is, but there are real constraints as to when the Coast Guard can engage and providing a service or a business, and the business world or the business environment might complain and say, well, gee, I have a private business that I, that's how I make my living, and for you, the government, to step in interferes, impedes me running a business. I don't want to have to compete with the government. So there have to be special agreements or exemptions or something. If I'm not mistaken, if things hadn't changed, but when I work for the government, just to get the Coast Guard to bring in display cases to place at the from Guam to the airport, there had to be special exception and an agreement to allow that, because there are other companies that could ship it in and for a fee, and you wouldn't want to impede commerce. So I don't know. If there's an emergency, but someone have to declare the emergency. Suzanne Case has to come out of her closet there and speak to the people and not go back in the closet when there's something she want to keep hidden. And when you have leadership like that that won't speak to anything, you go, you write and ask for a comment from anyone. So what does she do? She sends the, finally sends the aquatic director, Bruce Anderson, Dr. Bruce Anderson. And, you know, I guess that's why they call it doctor. Make you feel good. Say anything. It doesn't mean it have anything to do with the facts of matters. But this is trying to find his quotes here that sort of, it's a shameful process. Said here, this is, I'm going to quote from the Hawaii News Now article. Hawaii federal immigration officials are now investigating the fishing boat that ran aground with 20 people on board in Waikiki last week. Quote, we don't know who they were, where they are. At least I don't know. Oh, okay. Well, if Bruce Anderson don't know, that means we all don't know. At least I don't know. And it raises a question of, quote, is this a human trafficking situation or something else that we need to deal with more aggressively? Okay, end quote. Bruce Anderson, Department of Land and Natural Resources, Division Aquatic Resources Administrator, and I might add, I've shared with you for some while now, Suzanne Case and the governor gave him a special sweetheart deal because it has something to do, his placement there has something to do with the fact of retirement and what have you, but he don't, as I'm informed by some of the people that work there, is a 3-day schedule or 4-day schedule, but whatever it is, but he don't know. but they pass up a person that was there working for some 25, 28 years or so, that knows this matter and these issues like the back of his hand. Suzanne Case wouldn't hire him, but she hired the doctor, because doctor can say things that make you feel good. Have nothing to do with facts now. But at least I don't know. Okay, well, then you need to stay in your office sometime and meet with your people, and instead of just drawing a salary and trying to get your high five or whatever it is you're seeking, and you would probably know. But anyway, kind of a crazy, foul-mouthed way of speaking this morning, I'm sure many of you will conclude. But it's okay. Take two aspirins, and, you know, when you have a heartache, that's just what it does. It cures it. Anderson said there were only five fishermen with license assigned to the 79-foot paradise. However, there were 19 fishermen on board with the captain when it ran aground in Waikiki. So, if you know they have licenses for five, only five had licenses, well, how did he know that? Right? So he must have known something. How is he privy to that? He's not regulating the boats. How does one know these things? Well, because, you see, in all of this illegal trafficking, and when the legislator is going to fix it, the last time when the AP wrote that article, everybody, oh, you know, it's like crazy. Well, I'm going to fix it, and we'll introduce some legislation, and half-cocked, half-baked, and completely uninformed. So they should have known, or should have called Suzanne Case, or Alton there, that who is probably the genie of that agency, knows basically everything, been around a long time and knows the ins and out. But he wasn't good enough, you see. Bruce Anderson never served a moment as the aquatics. He was in the health department. But I can show you some failings at the health department that will scare you, like the landfill and all the thing else. And we never had any real prosecution. All we had was a process of consent decrees. And you know what they do. But this whole representation and presentation that they put forward, advance, didn't know. At least he don't know. But then in the same sentence or same conversation, he know that there is five. Well, the reason he knows there's five is because the state requires everybody that work aboard those fishing vessels have to have or acquire a fishing license from the state of Hawaii, Department of Land and Natural Resources, Aquatics Division. Mm-hmm. So, in other words, what you're hearing now, and this is the lazy man's way of doing things and the dishonest way of doing things, so you know that you require a license to be sold, and you know that the captain, at one time, the captain would bring the fisherman with him. Because they said, initially, they said, well, you need a license, and I think they were $50. You need a license, and the captain could go in and say, well, I have six guys on the boat from Philippines or wherever that's going to work on a boat. Then what I want to do is get a license for them. So they charge the captain the money for the license, they being DLNR, the very people that are saying, we don't know. We have no idea, or at least I don't know. Okay, well, we'll put that into the hold on for a moment. And then you take this license and you give it to the captain. And the captain at that time must show a passport for each of these individuals. So then they decide they got greedy. They said, hey, we charge, I think, $200. We're up the ante on these licenses. See, but they don't know who these people are, but they are wanting to increase the fee for the license that is required of the imported, smuggled, illegal alien that's being trafficked, a human traffic process or program or whatever it is. You see the craziness? Please, I'm spending this time not to change matters, but to just change your style and your way of listening to these clowns when they talk to you. Hold them accountable. Don't let them float just anything for the evening news and then that's it, and then we all trying to figure it out like cows in the pasture regurgitating and chewing our cud. We can get past that. We're more intellectual than that. Let's demand. If you're going to allow this practice to continue, then fairness to the commercial fishermen. How would you like to be go to your work every day and your boss tell you, go ahead and do that illegally. I got the backing of the legislators, and they're going to cover our backs, but go ahead and do this. And then when the FBI comes and catch you doing this illegal, illicit activity, that is by the general definition, all of a sudden you're hauled away in handcuffs and your boss is going, I didn't know. But it was that process that you were subjected to. So imagine you being a fisherman, or owner of a boat. And they say, well, we don't know. Americans don't want to work here. Well, maybe they do, maybe they don't. But I don't see anybody tearing down this walls down there saying, let me on this boat so I can go and work. If they are, introduce them to me. And we'll start a fight with the fishermen and say, well, you know, you claim that Americans are not wanting to do this work. Here's a bunch of Americans right here who want to do it. But until then, we need to get our heads out of the sand and not listen to this cover-up on the part of our federal legislators. You see, because the guy with the boat, and again, I want to reiterate, I'm not defending this entity, this agency, this operation, the commercial fishing industry. I have my own opinions about it, but sometimes when you're speaking and trying to clarify things and speak right and wrong, and addressing that, you have to tell the truth, or at least get close to the truth as best you know. But in this situation, the owner of the boat mans his boat, and it's known with people that are imported. Could be Christmas Island, Kiribati, Majuro, Marshall Islanders, Vietnamese, from Jakarta, Bali, and you name it. And so we know that. And so customs would love to do things different. And I've spoken to many of those agents and all. They would like to do things. It even put them in jeopardy in a sense that they're having to do something that is semi or quasi legal, illegal. But if they don't do what they're told, then they get fired or get in trouble. So this process then, this is how it plays out. I advocated for, well, if you're going to allow these people to come in, it's not my issue, but if you are going to allow them to come in, why don't you take this building that sits there, that state building that sits on the pier there for years, vacant because of, quote, methane gas and what have you, mediate that and remediate that and clear it up, mitigate that those issues, create a dorm, legalize this process, make it, bring it on the up and up, so to speak, allow these men that come in through this process to be treated in a humane way, in a humane fashion, and not be confined to the boats. You see, they pull up to the dock. The rule is you can't get off the boat and go anywhere. But at the time that I even found, there were some people were actually, they say, well, they were slave drivers and whatever. I'd spoken to, during the early investigation, the guys were quite happy because some of the fishermen would use them and doing roofing and take them off the boats and take them various places. And they would make good money, as they described it. And they would send it back to their family. Now, is that right or wrong? Well, it was allowed. Nobody went to jail for it. So this thing of shooting spears at it and saying, oh, it's foreign slavery, human trafficking. Well, they are human beings. I'll grant you that. But the rest of it is just you're pulling it out of your ears and don't know what you're talking about. So back to this license. And this license that Mr. It proves that Bruce Anderson hasn't a clue. Connie Eileen hasn't a clue. Doesn't know what they're talking about. The only thing they probably could be credited with is that they agree that it's a boat, what they call a boat. Other than that, completely. Both of them have the ability or in a capacity to know the truth, but instead, Anderson's trying to cover for Case's ignorance of all of these things and her hidden agendas, these things raised up and bitter in the butt, and so presented themselves with a sinking boat. And Connell Ng wants to become a congressman. Still don't fix the problem. But we're going to talk more extensively about these fishermen, the owners of these boats. And imagine if you had a boat that had, this boat went down with 11,000 gallons, I'm told, when it went to Samoa. At $4 a gallon. So that is one basis to say this person isn't going to bring all those people back for free. So as a general rule and a general practice, they would transport. Maybe one time it was the vessel Robin who would meet the vessel in Majuro out at sea, and people would jump off the boat and hop on the Robin or their assigned boat, whoever imported them. All under the watchful eye of our congressional staff, because, see, our congressional staff supports the auction, and that is going to be key in this. And so today when you're watching the game and you're eating that pokey, you know, ask yourself, if this is foreign, slave-produced fish, what the hell are you doing sitting there eating it for if you're so concerned about all of this? You know, put it down. Put the chopsticks down. Don't eat the poke. Don't eat the sashimi. Don't eat, you know, because guess what? According to these recent issues, you're supporting an industry that is based on slavery and human trafficking. You see, it doesn't fit, and we'll talk about it in greater degrees when you come back. This is the Carol Cox Show, and 888-5204.
If it's magic, then why can't it be everlasting? Like the sun that always shines, like the poet's endless rhyme, like the galaxies in time. If it's pleasing, then why can't it be never leaving? Like the day that never fails, like on seashores there are shells, like the time that always tells. It holds the key to every heart throughout the universe. It fills you up without a bite and quenches every thirst. Oh, if it's special, then with it wild we as careful as making sure we dress in style, posing pictures with a smile.
child.
Stay tuned for the second half of the Carol Cox Show right after this. It's time for the Carol Cox Show right here at K108. If you have questions or comments for Carol, our number here is 524-1080, 524-1080. And now, here's Carol.
You better stop, if you don't stop, I'm gonna put you down. Cause I can't take it much longer. My heart's getting weak. It's not getting any stronger. You keep me so upset. My head's in a whirl. But if you wanna be my girl, you'd better stop. Cause if you don't stop, I'm gonna put you down. Now you know you go out nights to have yourself a ball. Sometimes you don't. You don't make it home at all. I don't mind you having yourself a real good time. But not what you're trying to do. Trying to make me lose my mind. You better stop. If you don't stop, I'm gonna put you down. Yes, put you down. I don't wanna do it, but I'll have to put you down.
Okay, welcome back to the Carol Cox Show. Another beautiful day here, and right here in Hawaii, and we are talking about the longline fishing industry, the boat, the Pacific Paradise at Rent a Ground, and the chances. If you think you take your chances at Vegas, try becoming a commercial fisherman here in the longline industry or any industry in fisheries. So I welcome your calls at 888-5204-888-5204. And we're going to try to just cast a little light on these bold, uninformed statements made by candidate Congressman Conielle Ng, and right now he's state representative. But quoting him, the state representative, Conielle Ng, said, and this is from the Hawaii News Now article on the 18th of this month, October 18th, 2017. It says, state representative Conielle Ng said, DLNR needs to do a better job of regulating foreign fishermen and longline fleet. Quote, it was just being used to transport people, and there's another word for that. It's called human trafficking. But I guess if they were just hauling an illegal shipment of Barbie dolls, that would, what, be fake boobs or something? I don't know, but whatever. Said Ng, I'm inserting that part. He didn't say that. But Representative Ng met with Land Department officials, Land Department now, on Wednesday to voice his concerns about the vessel. Quote, there is no way of trafficking who they, of tracking who they are or where they came from. How are they being treated and what they're doing here in Hawaii in the first place? So there's this big loophole in the law, end quote, said Ng. But Ng and Anderson said the boat owner's insurance probably won't cover everything. Well, they got that right, but the problem is they knew that in the beginning. But you see, just dribble it out to the people to make us look like we're smart. And it's been over a week now, and with all the time and efforts that's been spent, I guess we're looking at a cost upwards of $1 million or more, Anderson said. If this boat doesn't incur millions of dollars in damage, there's only a $400,000 insurance liability, and the rest is going to be folks like you and me, you and I, Ng echoed. Anderson also said that there is a coral damage and wants a vessel quickly removed to minimize additional damage. The area just outside the grounding site of the Marine Conservation District and is considered our highest area of protection, and there's no fishing allowed or any other activities that might impact the resources there. So we're very concerned about the close proximity of the vessel and the Marine Life Conservation District, which is very nearby, he said. Talking about a wordsmith and someone that's articulate, to say nothing. So that brings me to some other points in this observation. So you've heard me rant about not hiring game wardens on at nighttime, or not paying them differential, or not providing them all the needed tools that they need to get out there and patrol. They want to patrol, but they can't, because they don't want to pay them the 40 cent or some cents plus for per diem, or not per diem, or differential pay or something. May have the terminology wrong. But anyway, then they have this answering service. So you call in and, hey, there's a 79-foot boat floating around out there. It looked like it's going to Waikiki and going to destroy the coral. Thank you for your call. You've reached the DLNR. Is there a message? Please leave a message, and we'll get back to you when we can. So the Coast Guard has this elaborate monitoring system. We are all in this era of terrorists, and we are all in this, and I offer this to say, pull your coattail and say, did they really know? Or is this all after regurgitation to try and cover their asses? And that is, with all this security, and we're at arm neck and neck with North Korea, and he's threatening to bomb us here and there, what was there to say that there was a boat out there commandeered, and they put on people from a submarine? I'm just thinking crazy like the rest of the folks now. And then they put these people from the submarine, and these really skilled killers and trainers and terrorists, and put them on this boat, and this boat just drifts on like a love boat into Waikiki. Oh, it's getting closer, and nobody gets concerned. Soft target. We see that tourism industry in foreign countries are being targeted by, quote, terrorists. So, not just smuggling of people for fishing and baiting hooks, but, you know, there's a real serious danger if you listen to the news and then see the news and watch the news, the potential, right? And especially if I drive by and pull over to the entrance of the harbor there and to take a picture, and then the cops coming, oh, hey, what are you doing here, man? This is a secure zone. Why are you taking a picture of that boat? Well, but a 79-foot longline vessel can just drift and plow into and nobody say anything. Nobody. So that brings me back to the point of the game wards. Now, what if we had an agency that didn't have a special interest or a unique program that they want to implement their own little special projects. What if we were being managed and our resources were being managed as a whole? Probably would have had game wardens out there patrolling that reef and patrolling that district and being able to respond and would see that vessel and bam, hey, take a hammer and hit the sledgehammer and hit the bottom of the boat or hit the side of the boat and wake the captain up who was asleep and probably drifting, putting on autopilot and run right into it and you know, all of that. But when you have your own agenda and you come to DLNR, these things take back seat. And I'm not being critical of Suzanne Case, per se, but I'm saying the whole system is flawed. So it makes it worse when you start to project and suggest that it's slave and that it's trafficking of human beings. When all things fail, and they knew they were coming, they were just told you can't come in early because you didn't get. And to come into the harbor, you need to get clearance. So you don't just drive a boat up there and go plowing in. You tell the captain or the harbor master, and they have a special protocol. Watch the Pasha vessel on the right, tug coming in on the left, or exiting the harbor if you're coming in. All that has to be orchestrated. You just don't go willy-nilly driving up there. So there's systems that would have told us, but it failed. So now they got you, like little chicken feed, scratching and trying to get to the facts when, in fact, the Coast Guard failed us, DLNR failed us. It is not human trafficking. Yes, they brought people from Samoa, if you want to be technical, and they're human beings. I guess they're human beings because the legislators have been treating them as if they're not. Only treat them as they're human beings when the news story hits, a boat run ashore. So back to this industry that so you can get an understanding that this is not a well-oiled machine, but these things that you take for granted and it's suggesting that no one knows who these people are. First of all, no one's going to go down to Samoa and bring up people on a boat. This company, 2L, had already had its bad experience in recent times in April of this year. The vessel Elizabeth caught fire while bunkered at Pier 38, waiting to offload its fish. And it burned, and so the owner, or the company that owns it, took that vessel, the Elizabeth, cleaned it up, did some work, took it to Morisco, and did some work. Had a new paint job on it and gave it a new name called the Pacific Dragon. And the Pacific Dragon then takes on some of these fishermen. Where did the others go? You think the guy brought those people back and didn't bother to get compensated for bringing that crew back? Because that crew's still going to be dispersed and go to the other fishing boats. So I'm offering that to say to you, those are the facts, and they would be one reason you could know, because the fisherman is not going to lie. And I can tell you, I've spoken with a number of the imported fishermen who, and we talk as if they're ignorant and stupid, but let me tell you something. In conversation with many of the men that work aboard those boats that are coming in as import, they are as intelligent. I don't think, not many people that I know that I consider friends or acquaintances would be able to get on a boat and tell the captain, hey, captain, no, take these coordinates to get here and do that, you know, or be on a boat and survive. I don't have that caliber of people that can navigate boats to that degree. So these are not ignorant people, so first of all. And they may be paid less than what you think they should be, but that brings me to my next point. So you take the captain, you take the owner owns the boat, he hires a captain. The captain gets a percentage of whatever their agreement is, of the catch or whatever. I don't know all the details because probably each one of them differ. The captain then responsible for the boat. The owner gets contracts, identifies through an agent here that contacts another agent in Philippines or wherever the country they're originating, and agree that this person signs a contract with these conditions, and then they come here. They're then brought here and then placed on the boat of the person that paid their way and paid the person like the Paradise, Pacific Paradise, pays them, and he then puts them in the service. So that captain, that owner then invests a few, puts a few in. Let's say if he got 10,000 gallons that he needs to take on to go fishing, probably much more, but we'll just say 10,000 gallons at $4 a gallon. So he still yet leave the docks, and I'm not offering this to defend them. I give you some insight. And he got to fill that boat up. Now he still yet to put any bait on, so now he got to get the bait. Now if he does not have an automatic ice maker on that vessel, then he got to put ice on it. So all these costs, again, don't call me and say I'm defending anyone. I'm not. I'm just trying to take people that have been held in the dark and treated as if they're mushrooms and bring a little light to you. And so the fish are caught by the use of bait. Now they need a monofilament line. They need a spool, what they call a spool or a wheel, which holds a main line. That's substantial. Thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars. So you got that. Now you got the boat. You got to have it seaworthy. You got to get it passed by Coast Guard. And then you agree that you will not have these men working out in the streets or out in town or what have you. They get cleared. Customs come down, look at their ID, look at their passport, match the passport with the contract or whatever with the face. Done. Everybody's happy. The captain still not left the thing. He got to pay for bunkering his boat. They're tied up at the pier. Then he got to go and do lube, and then he got to go and buy the food for the crew. So Las Vegas come to Honolulu in this occasion. It's a gamble. Now, that does not excuse or say that someone has a right to participate in slave labor or human trafficking. But these are the realities. I'm trying to convey to you and portray to you what I best have seen through my being down there and talking with fishermen and whatever, because I used to think it was an evil industry. And I realize there's so many elements that push this thing that you have to ask yourself, how can, if it is so illegal, where in the heck is Brian Schatz, Maisie Hirano, Daniel Akaka, Daniel Inouye, these back, and the other legislators, where are they to know that upon our shores, at our piers, that we are supporting and encouraging such foul practice? They didn't see it that way, because you see you have the auction block. So now you've got your expense from the captain and the owners of the boats, and now you're going out and you're going to catch a fish. You don't know if you're going to come back and every boat in the industry is going to land fish, so the price goes down. But no matter if you caught 10 fish or 100,000 fish, you're still going to pay the auction 10% of what you sell. So blood diamonds, blood fish, what is it? Make your mind up. Are you going to, every time you see an AP story that comes out and you slave labor, pass me that pokey, honey. Go ahead, caller. Thank you for your call.
Hey, Firebrand, when are you going to get to rail and plane?
Rail and plane?
Yeah, you announced at the beginning of the show it's going to be boat, rail, and plane.
Right. Well, we're going to talk about that.
All right, then.
All right. Okay. So the Coast Guard, this boat coming, talking about planes, the Coast Guard has a C-130 and has a VMS, and so this boat's coming down, coming, oh, it's closing in, it's going, transiting fishing areas in the VMS, going off, boo, 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 boo. They didn't send a C-130 out. They didn't send a cutter out. You know why they didn't? Because they knew the boat was coming back. That's vessel Pacific paradise. It's on its way back from its return trip to Samoa with their knowledge that it's transporting fishermen to work aboard the longline fishing boats. If you think your gamble, your game is over when you pull the bunch, the button, hit the button. Now in Vegas, it's a, you tap the button. Rarely is the arm you pull, but you still got some of the. But if here as a fisherman and an owner of a boat, you bring your fish in, and you hope and pray, boy, if that the market is going to bear a good price. But you also hope and pray that all 25 boats or whatever don't come in on the same date, because your price goes down. And then your fish can be looked at. You're talking about a gamble. If you don't wash your fish properly and keep it clean and treat it on the HACCP, you might make it back here with a monstrous load, biggest load you ever caught, but you can lose it because bacteria may foul it. So, again, I'm not offering this to say, well, we should tolerate this, quote, slave labor, and we should tolerate this human trafficking because the commercial fishing boats and the owners take a great risk. It's none of my business. I think if it's slave labor, then we should shut them down and act accordingly. But when your government is allowing it under their watchful eye and their checks and balances, and they don't do any checks and ain't much balancing, and when things flare up, the Coast Guard pulls its little, you go downtown now to Waikiki and you'll see their little trailer there. The Coast Guard is on the scene. What are they going to do? If they didn't do anything already, why do we need to see a Coast Guard trailer and it's air conditioned? Why? The health department, what are they going to do? They were there. They're the hearer's response. 12 days later and 13 days later, and the boat still sits there. They took water and doused it on a flame that is burning from fuel. So all of this is just a one-track mind in that people will allow you to do things in this state with all of these things that goes on. It's illegal or it's legal until you get caught. So if you don't play by that and you try to play differently, you're going to sink. If you play by those rules, you're likely to sink anyway, because eventually justice prevails and things, you, the owner of the boat, might be freed from this handcuffing that our federal legislators would dare allow to develop. And they have a bigger responsibility than anyone. There is more concern, and this speaks to the environmentalists and all. You don't see this big fight. It didn't take, I wrote the article in 2000 and exposed even right down to the seat where they would be flying on the airplane, where they were coming from. No outcry. But when the AP decided to write this article and interviewed me, called me up, and I told them, as I've shared with you before, based on what I know, all those things that I've shared with you this morning, I believe if there's any improprieties or anything wrong that is unethical or just downright inhumane, it starts and get its birthplace in the offices of Mazie Hirono, Colleen Hanabusa, Tulsi Gabbard, Brian Schatz, all of those people who sit there in Washington and present themselves as caretakers of freedom and justice and all of that, and right under their nose and their fingers is an entity, an agency, and an operation that invites these moments such as this. So it's left up to you. You can buy the bull, you can spread the bull, or you can wake up one morning and say, I listen to the Carol Cox Show. He may not make sense half the time, but damn, he does make sense when he says, well, if I'm willing to utter these words, the longline fishing industry is slave labor, and they traffic human beings. And I just bought myself a $5 bag of poke, and I'm going home now and going to have me some poke with limu and limu kala, and I'm going to have me some, you know. I'm sorry, folks. You can't eat the fish and not be responsible for taking the hook. You can't. Can't let you off the hook. This has nothing to do with slave labor. This is to do with people that we are so casual about caring for people that we sometimes become reckless and superficial and not whole. And I know right now many of you are going, did you hear what he said about our legislators? How dare him? That guy, man, he's abrasive. But look, each bite of that pokey, baby, came from those bloody hands of those foreign workers that were smuggled in and sold a license by the state health, by the State Department of Land and Natural Resources, and the Coast Guard knows the boat was coming and all of that and how much fuel they had. And yeah, how about that? You don't go to Samoa and just pull up there and load on some people. See, there's even bigger stories. So in order for it to be a smuggling, you've just insulted the entire nation of Samoa, the American Samoan government. Because what you're suggesting is that a boat can just pull up to their docks. They're un-American. They don't give a damn about America and its policies and its practices and its ethics. So, hey, a boat pulls up in Samoa. I'm just offering you this to say there's so many steps along the way that proves and say to you this has nothing to do with smuggling. And you should be wise and familiar with this. So when a boat pulls up there, you don't just show up and bunker up to appear in Samoa. You don't do that. And you don't. Samoa has a customs too, if you mind you. And are you saying that the Samoan people are so un-American that they would allow and become a conduit or to allow the transport become a stepping point? This isn't the Underground Railroad. No, it isn't. So I'm offering all of this, so if you get just grab a little bit of it, then you'll understand your role in this, rather than just being someone go, oh, did you see that boat? Damn, it's going to ruin the reef. Did you hear that they were smuggling human beings in there? Well, you know. But I like my poke in bigger cubes. I like mine with spicy and mixed with ahi, spicy ahi type. I like mine that way. Well, where is it coming from? Well, there's two concerns here. I've told you before on many of my shows, be careful what you eat. Because a lot of the fish that comes in is not caught on the local longline Hawaii-based fleet. A lot of it is caught in other areas and packaged in those areas and smoked with carbon monoxide and on and on and on. But we won't get into that. But so I'm offering this to you with the thought of that I will never be invited to Congress and I will never be able to go to Washington, D.C., and say to Hanabusa or Mazie or Brian, hey, can you get me some tickets to see this? Okay, I want to go. You know, I'm resolved to know that when we speak about justice, and the like thereof. You have to be honest. And so, ask yourself, what is really controlling this situation? How is it that the United States Customs people, I've known many of those agents and I know Customs, it won't lend itself to nonsense. No. You're wrong. They're going to. But if you got a political interference or an element of political protection of an entity that is participating in that industry, the fishing industry, then you're likely to be fired or demoted or transported out of here if you were to do something different. So this thing called slave labor, I think it missed the target, and whoever prescribed that is wrong. Is it a perfect industry? Hell no, it's not. In no way. But if you give the written rules and you say, well, okay, here are the written rules. But you can deviate from the written rules, but don't tell anybody that we told you you could do this. You know, we'll look the other way, but we're really not looking the other way. And we'll serve as the protectors out there, because come New Year's and come the open session of the state capitol and the legislative session, we're going to get ourselves some fresh sashimi, the top grade sashimi from the auction block, you see. And we're going to get, and when we have parties, when the Democratic Party has parties, we're going to get some more bloody hand, slave labor, illegal traffic, humans, prepared sashimi. You see how crazy this sounds, folks? And all you thought it was just a boat sitting out there high and dry. No, if there was someone willing to write a book, I would be their source and I would give you as much as you want to. I'm not in the writing books and don't care, but I'm telling you one of the biggest lies, and it repeatedly invites people like Connie L. Ying, says, hey, over here, you want to make a statement that's misinformed or ill-advised and just unfounded, baseless? Look at the longline fishing industry. But I began to say to you earlier that where are the environmentalists in this boat matter? Where are they? I understand some stores that when they sell this fish, they want to look to see what kind of treatment these people have. They interview the fishermen. Mm-hmm. The imported, quote, illegally imported human trafficked individuals that are working under slave conditions, quote. So, if you want to, you know, fishermen tell big lies anyway, right? I mean, you ask him if he caught what size it was, he'll exaggerate. It's just the way it is. I don't know why, just bigger is better. I don't know. But there are so many lies perpetrated with, and I don't know how a fisherman or a boat owner could even survive in this climate, honestly. When you one moment you feel good, like, wow, I'm contributing to the industry, to the economy of Hawaii. I'm contributing to the good image, because when you go, as I said to you earlier, fish sold in restaurants, you put down there on that restaurant, on that menu, opaka paka, caught in deep waters off Hawaii. Man, guy sitting there at the table will pay $80, $90, $235 for that nice, exquisite piece of, the 8-ounce piece of opaka paka, onaga. Yeah, you understand. And then if you read the small print, if life was honest and fair, it would say, caught in Hawaiian waters, clean, fresh, deep Hawaiian waters. Small print. With the blood, sweat, and tears of illegally trafficked human beings that are working on the slave conditions. You see, but none of that. We only go to that when we see something wrong and then demonize the owners of the boats for doing what? Well, there may be an issue, you know, valid issue. Well, why don't we hire more Americans? But, or whatever, or maybe they need to raise the prices. But that needs to be done, because how do you get more money from your fish if the industry is controlled by the auction block? You got guys that don't even leave the shoreline dictating the market of the industry. Let's speak to that. Let's speak to the commerce, rules of commerce. Let's speak to fairness. Let's speak to monopoly. How many auction blocks do we have in Hawaii, especially on this island? Let's speak to that. Let's ask our legislators. And I think if we spoke to all of that, we probably would get a healthy response, and you would never pick up a paper and see anyone that says, talking about slave labor, trafficked human beings, synonymous with longline fishing industry. It's such that if they don't like you, you don't sell your fish. So this is something that's, it's coming to a head, but boy, is it slow. And it's unfortunate that we have this kind of climate that where we have legislators who only speak. I think the federal legislator said, well, we're going to look into it. When AP wrote their article, we're going to look into this. What's there to look into? You know every tidbit there is. You know that everything that you fight for, when you come here and speak to your constituents from Washington, and you speak to your constituents, you're singing that song, well, justice will prevail, and we are here to protect the interests of the American worker and the American citizen and the American culture, the American way, and we want to make sure wages are fair and all of that. But that contingency of legislators, not. They won't touch the auction block. They stay far the hell away from that. A monopoly that exists, how are you going to ever change anything if you don't change the culture or change the ways? So it's unfortunate that what we see here. And it's always the little guy does all the chatter and the misinformation out there. And it's if you want to see pain, it hurts me because we all mean well. And you hear the different things tossed out there, and you're saying to yourself, why? The conversation should become healthy and a stronger voice needs to be raised and heard to speak specifically to these unfair, unjust practices, both for the fishermen, and it trickles down. It trickles down. You look at the price of fish, and I think if at one time, they don't make that much money when it was $1 a gallon, $2 a gallon for diesel or whatever. They're still, you know, you go out to sea, and some fishermen are paying their previous bill. This next trip that they go on, they may be coming back to pay that bill for the bait and all, and so the profit. Now, I'm not defending them, but again, you wouldn't get illegal trafficking or slave labor if you're honest to that. You wouldn't describe it as such, or quantify it as such, if you knew all the working parts. So it's an industry that, I mean, I try not to eat meat, but and I have great concerns about longline fishing industry, and I was going to speak to that a wee bit about the environmentalists. They now taking on this tone of, oh, the boat, you don't see them down there, because Suzanne Case is their friend. They begged to get her in. So when you know what hit the fan, and it's their person that they were fanning in to get in, no, they're not going to get around there and be dictating. And you read the articles, something's missing. You don't have any advocates, the environmental standpoint, you don't have that. I don't know if that's because of the newspaper, the paper. They just interview the officials. What environmentalists are available to make any comments or have any objections? You know, they become silent when it's their friends. They being the environmentalists. But fairness is fairness, and if right is right and wrong is wrong. So they. You never heard environmental concerns. You've heard me talk about it on the show here and what have you, advocating for. That was why I got involved in this longline issue with, as relating to the fishermen and the labor aboard those vessels, because I thought that nobody wanted to touch it. They talk about shark fins. They talk about all these things and. But in reality, nobody defended the fishermen or the labor. And you still haven't. And I guess that's something to do with the ability of environmentalists to be able to separate animals from humans. You know, hug a bear, hug a tree, don't hug me. You know, it's that kind of a attitude. So with that, they want to know the birds. I mean, some of the backdrop to this is that when I got here, moved to Hawaii, the industry was killing birds, substantial numbers. It's putting out the line, and as they're baiting it, and the albatross and the petrels and what have you would grab the bait and take them down and drown. I still have those concerns. But I also am concerned with human beings being wronged. And there was an aggressive effort to bring into compliance and put mitigators on, mitigating measures to bird scares or putting out the line at nighttime or what have you, or concerns with turtles. They sued on behalf of turtles. But did anybody raise it? If it was slave labor, why didn't someone here raise the issue in a campaign in the environmental community to say, hey, that fish you're eating, remember it was dolphin fresh, a dolphin safe, remember that label? But you never saw the environmentalists come along and say, let's put one on slave labor safe. So it rings in the whole thing, and it begs, what is really going on here? Are we just an emotional culture? Or we just respond to what we see in the paper, and it could be triggered by the Connellings or the Bruce Andersons? I read that article, and I said to myself, I could picture this picture of juvenile children standing in a foggy mist in the middle of a road, not knowing which way to go. They were, you talking about emptiness, but trying to serve a purpose. That is the epitome of people and how things work in this town, where anybody will step forward, say anything to appease the masses. Or to mislead the masses. And it's easily done. Hell, I think that Putin actually took the way we handle matters here in Hawaii and learned how to do it on the internet with the rest of us. We don't hit the hard-hitting issues. Absolutely. If you want to change the whole culture and you want to bring the... Let's change and make the auction block different and owned by other people. Let's infuse and let's have a fair competition where, well, this one will give you $10 a pound for the fish, or this one will give you $8 a pound. Let's establish that. Now, I might be talking out the side of my neck and not knowing what I'm talking about, but competition, but I've watched it. So there's a lot that would just drive you up the wall if you knew about it. And it is not about the illegal fishermen and the sports bringing them in and lying and sneaking them in, because every agency that is involved in protecting our borders had knowledge of that boat coming in. They had knowledge of that boat leaving from Hawaii. They had knowledge that when that vessel made it to Samoa, they knew what cargo they took on, what, because the pier, like anywhere else in Samoa, they do the same thing. They're law-abiding citizens. They have a culture. They have a customs. They have all of those things. They, don't you think they would have had on record, or somebody should have said, Samoa port, can you tell us this vessel, Pacific Paradise, arrived at your shores, and can you keep a watchful eye on what they're doing? That's intelligence. I mean, come on, you know. And Samoa Port will write back and send back. They took on 19 crew or whatever, because I hope that the captain didn't leave here alone. Single-handedly, I'm sure he must have had somebody aboard. Maybe he had other fishermen that had exhausted their contract and taken them back. And so if our legislators knew that and know that they're using the foreign workers aboard, why make the fishermen or the owners of these vessels go through this, take these steps, such circuitous route, rather than just going to Congress or writing a special law or introducing a special bill to exempt or do something to take out this nefarious view, or this what appears to be, well, you get in from Vietnam, you go to Jakarta, or you go somewhere else and Taiwan, and then you get off the plane in Taiwan, then you fly to Majuro, and then from Majuro you go to Samoa, right? If the Coast Guard and if Customs and anybody else involved in this practice that has a within their purview, if they're saying that they didn't know, then that's the boldest, most honest statement that goes unpunished. Because if our border is that porous, and a 79-foot vessel can come in and just willy-nilly run aground in Waikiki, then that's a statement of failure in its worst sense, in its worst statement, worst form. So don't buy all that you hear. And don't dismiss these things that when Bruce Anderson speak about something, he has no clue. But it sure filled the space of the article. Thank you, caller. Go ahead.
Hey, buddy. Sure sounds like that boat went right off the rails, huh? Later.
All right. So, this is, I hope that what I've done is share with you some insight, and I'm privy to a lot more. I want you to make sure that you don't go away thinking that I'm defending any part of this industry. I want you to just know that I believe that when corruption presents itself in the form of government or hands off, that invite corruption. When people have the responsibility, a duty, to make sure that things are done right, adhering to our import and export laws and our immigration rules and whatever, and work rules, and not impeding or impacting other businesses. Caller, thank you. Go ahead, caller, thank you.
Hi, thank you for all the good information. I liked it when that guy said that boat went off the rails. He gave me a good laugh for the day. Thank you, buddy.
You're welcome.
Aloha.
Aloha. Well, guys, sometimes it's like when I speak, there's so much venom, it sounds as if. But I don't know how you can witness the truth, and I don't know how you can witness someone being attacked and not become witness to it and speak out to prevent it or to aid that person. So if I come across harsh, that's because I have so much knowledge about this. And I just detest when I see officials who say nothing in the beginning, but at the end they try to shape your opinion and shape the situation and shape the truth and mold it and fashion it into some bull that you would never recognize. The bottom line here is that our federal legislators are failing us. Our federal regulators, Mr. Schatz, he sit there and poke at Donald Trump and all that. That's great. I mean, it wins you a lot of ooh. But the reality is, right under your nose in your front yard, not backyard, in your front yard, Colleen Hanabusa, Mazie Hirono, Tulsi Gabbard, you're talking about slavery. We're enslaved to you. It's as if we voted you in to carry out the American principles and the values and all, and then you just give them away. And then we're left to auger along beaches and talk about, well, you know, the boat came in and it was hauling illegal aliens and what have you. We deserve better. The owners of the boats deserve better. The people that come here to work deserve better, because we are a nation of democracy and fairness and freedom. And on and on and on. But it all occurs under our flag. And all those people that like your fresh sashimi, you, me, and anyone else, you're just as responsible for not demanding closure to this, or bring some advocate to, if we're going to import workers, then give the owners of the vessels assistance or something to make this worth it to all of us and be consistent with American values. That's all I got to say. We'll talk to you next week. And I'm going to try and have I don't want to announce it now, but there's the first African-American Navy pilot, female Navy pilot, I'm going to try and have her on next Sunday. And I got to do some reading up and what have you, but we'll be talking. And Mr. Jefferson says that Alexander Jefferson, one of the Tuskegee Airmen, 95 years old, said hello and then tell all hello, and he's going to come on the show in the coming weeks. So we'll talk to you next week. CarolCox.com or Carol Cox Facebook or ThinkTech Hawaii. Eyes on Hawaii is my show at 12 o'clock live on the internet, ThinkTechHawaii.com. Aloha. Come home.
on K108. Tune in again next week, Sunday at 9 a.m. to the Carol Cox Show on 1080 AM KWAI Honolulu.